Sessionable.
Welcome, everyone, to Sessionable. Yep.
Sessionable?
I don't know. I'm like Pavlov's dog.
I will use that. I will use that. That's good.
I have to do that.
That voice you hear is Bright, marketing director. Is that?
I'll take that.
Marketing guru, marketing man.
Guru, marketing ninja. Yeah. Just
marketing.
I am the marketing department, start to finish.
Yeah, there you go. So you're the director and you're the underlings.
Yes.
And you're the,
I'm everyone. Yep. In the entire
marketing
branch.
Of? You are the mob.
Of Bright Brewery is what I
Hi,
was going
I'm
to.
James.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast, James. We are sitting in the brew house of Bright Brewery at the moment, taking a quick break from the Darker Days Festival. It's quite cold.
It's actually not as cold as I was expecting it to be.
Yeah, we are
in this actual
rugged
in this right it's, spot right yeah. now.
Just wait 1 hour.
Yeah.
It hasn't even begun yet, has it? No.
That's it.
Also, Adrian's drinking red wine at the moment, so that might help.
I am. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Before we
get off this podcast, seriously.
Before we start.
Oh, wait, you have done a wine podcast. You have done a wine episode, haven't you? So
we have not yet.
We've spoken about wine before.
We really should. Like natural wines.
Yeah, let's do it.
Very close to wild beers. Yeah. We have had wine on the episode, on the podcast.
Yes, we have. We have had wine.
But I'd like to take this chance to thank Dave's Travel and Events Group for sponsoring the podcast. They ran this tour to Bright Brewery for the Darker Days Festival, and we're very thankful for that.
Literally, without Dave's, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah. I mean,
in more than one sense of the word.
I mean, we might be here, but like, it wouldn't be as fun.
Yeah. We wouldn't have this VIP thing around my neck.
Like, it's seriously, like, we took all the stress off coming to this festival.
And I must say, it's above and beyond, because this is not just a tour.
Yeah.
This is a journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is eight hours. Did it take you to get here from Sydney?
It took 8 hours. We did a few stops. We stopped by Beechworth, Bridge Road for a beer as well.
Stopped by Trapper's Bakery in Goulburn.
How good is Trapper's?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Dave, you can't go past Goulburn with Dave and stop by.
It's like
law.
Yeah.
See how excited he got for pies on the way?
He was all about it.
Were there any bus songs? Bus sing-alongs? No.
Maybe on the way back.
I think the way back tomorrow will be a whole lot of, shut up, shut up.
Stop talking. Yeah, so even though you guys can't go on this trip anymore.
This year.
For this year. We might do it next year again.
I think we should.
I think it should be a thing.
Let's just call it now. Annual pilgrimage.
Darker Days at Bright Brewery Days Brewery Tour. But you can check out a whole bunch of other tours at daves.com.au. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, while we're on the topic of Darker Days, James, what is Darker Days? What's the festival about?
Darker Days, let me put my marketing hat on at the moment.
Is that different to the hat you're wearing now?
Yeah, is that marketing hat in the shape of a wombat? Or
I may be wearing a wombat hat at the moment. Darker Days is about embracing winter in Bright. Look, in all honesty, we're a tourist town, but we're a summer tourist town where everyone comes here to enjoy camping and they enjoy the Ovens River that flows behind the brewery here. In winter, we're dead quiet because it's cold, it's dark, the days are short, and everyone goes to the mountains to ski. So we're less than an hour to Mount Hotham and Falls Creek, which are the main ski resorts here in Victoria, and that's where everyone goes during winter. They don't come to Bright. So for the sake of generating a bit of activity, a bit of festiveness. Sorry, that sounds really bad, that word. I'm pretty sure it's not even English.
Maybe?
Festivity, yeah. During this time, because you would have seen that it was a beautiful sunny day here when you arrived.
Yeah. 2 hours ago or something.
Yeah, exactly. We decided to create a festival to celebrate this time of year and create a bit of activity and vibe in Bright. So Darker Days, it's a dark beer and midwinter festival. Dark beer, because we've got brewers here, five different brewers plus us, Bright Brewery, so that's six brewers all up, who can only pour dark or winter beers. So I put out the stipulation to everyone, no pale ales, no lagers, unless it has a specific winter twist. So it's, you know, either a Vienna lager
that's red,
it's a bock, it's a dark lager, it's a smoked something. Yeah. And all the brewers that come to the party, if you go out there into the festival marquee, all you'll see is beers on the dark side of the spectrum, which is awesome. I'm fairly sure there's no one else in Australia doing a festival of that variety.
I don't think that includes as many breweries.
Yeah, I know
breweries do them themselves.
Like a tap takeover,
there's plenty of venues.
I don't think it counts if it's like a venue having like a one day thing.
Yep. Yep.
Of different breweries.
It's not the same.
From.
It's a tap takeover. It's not an event.
Festivals are more kind of invitational things where people hold different stalls.
Yeah, and bring the beers they want to, you know, whatever beers they have.
That's right, yeah. We all bow down to the Scratchers Weekend of Darkness in Brisbane, which is one of the great dark beer events in Melbourne. In Brisbane. I'm sure there's the same in Sydney.
I'd say the Bit of Few or the Union ones.
I know Murray's do a dark beer month.
They have,
but no one's really doing a single day festival that's specifically about dark beers.
I think that's right. Yeah.
And look, I am a beer geek, a beer nerd, a beer wanker. Rightfully,
we all. Yeah.
And dark beers are my type of beers. I'm less a hophead, more of a malt driven. You know, imperial stouts are my favourite type of beer. So if I wanted to create a festival, I wanted a dark beer festival. So, yeah.
And it works well in winter.
And it works perfectly well in winter. But we've also combined all the elements of a midwinter festival. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of fire going out there. Yep. There was a ritualistic burning of a giant wooden structure, which you all witnessed, and that was pretty cool.
It went pretty
that
fast,
was,
too.
That was pretty awesome.
Gasoline.
Yeah.
And look, lots of kids' activities. It helps to... helps with the vibe when you have a family-friendly vibe. Yeah. It means that there's no excessive dickheadness when you've got kids around.
It's an awesome atmosphere.
So I like to make it family-friendly because it makes it a great vibe. And look, there's great food. There's gourmet food. Have you guys had the brisket yet?
Yeah, the brisket was really good.
The bratwurst. That was delicious. Yeah.
That's our Bright Brewery bratwurst.
Yeah. That was awesome.
The worst... In Bright, sorry. My wife wrote
the worst,
that.
Worst,
the worst hot dog. Worst in Bright. Bright's worst hot dog,
Bright,
I think it's
Bright's worst hot dog, that's it. Yeah. So, it was about getting the local brewers together and pouring dark beers and creating a festival around it with some music and some entertainment and some activities and getting people to really embrace winter when it's cold and the days are short and it's dark and everyone wants to stay at home. But everyone stays at home and drinks these awesome stouts and dark beers. So let's go outside and celebrate that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And are you happy with how everything's gone? The turnout's amazing.
The turnout's been fantastic. We had no idea how it was going to be because we didn't sell tickets to the event. Yeah. It's a free event. We had no idea of who was going to turn out. But as you can see out there, it's packed. People have come from far and wide. You guys have come from Sydney. We know people have come from Melbourne specifically for this event.
Yep.
Albury, all around northeast Victoria, people have come to Bright specifically for the event. And that's best testimony that we can get for this. Yeah. We've had plenty of... This is our first year, so we've had plenty of teething problems, certainly behind the scenes. And I'm not going to lie, there's going to be a lot of stuff that we'll do differently immediately. But it's the first year. We had no idea what the turnout was going to be, and it's going to be cold tonight. Can I swear? It's going to be super fucking cold, like motherfucker tonight.
This is meant to be the coldest weekend of the year, right?
And people have come from Mount Eliza as well. So we did have a quick break there so I could talk to one of my entertainers. The beautiful Stilt Walker from Nova Star Productions. Let's give her a shout out. Who came as Snow White today for the kids and did an awesome job as a Stilt Walker. Walking a snow queen.
Under a marquee, too.
Quite a striking sight as well. Like, you could see her from all around the festival. It was great.
Absolutely fantastic. So, it was about creating something for the region to celebrate during winter when we're quiet.
Yeah.
But it's also creating something for the beer lovers who really love the dark side of beer.
Yep.
To travel for, and hopefully it will build and grow over years.
Yeah.
I had brewers get in touch with me from Melbourne, go, can we be a part of it? And I had to go, no, sorry, it's invitation only this year because I want to keep it small. I had to restrict things because we just didn't know what it was going to be like. But we know in future there's potential to grow it and maybe get brewers far and wide, a special guest brewer to come from who knows where.
Maybe you can get like 180 different brewers to brew a dark beer.
No.
So you got 6 year, what, 180 next year, or like somewhere in the middle somewhere, right? Like, yeah.
I'll be happy with 12.
Yeah.
No, what's amazing at this moment at the region, we're in northeast Victoria. We have the High Country Brewery Trail. Until last year, that was four breweries. It was us at Bright Brewery, Bridge Road Brewery, it was Sweetwater from Mount Beauty, and Black Dog Brewery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the last year, that has grown to seven. So we've got Blizzard Brewery from Dinner Plain, Rutherglen Brewery, and Mansfield Brewery, who I couldn't have here tonight because it just wasn't big enough for those last two to come. But they'll certainly be here next year. In the next 18 months, there's a good chance that there'll be another four breweries part of this. Yeah. So, look, it's no Marrickville. it's no... You were talking recently about...
Brookvale.
Yeah.
Well, so what was the Albanese...
That's Marrickville. Yeah, Marrickville. Yeah.
It's no Inner West because it's a good 2 hours to Mansfield. Yeah. But for northeast Victoria, as a region, we are exploding as a beer.
But even if you look at it as like population per brewery, it's still a really high number, right?
Absolutely, that's right. I mean, we've only got a population of 2,000 people here, so it's tiny.
Yeah.
And to, you know, Beechworth.
Pretty sure there's 2,000 people squatting in Marrickville at the moment. So, like,
I guess, like, that could be like a per capita thing. Like, so in Vermont, like, per capita, they are the most.
Dense brewery
state in America. So it could be like it could be that in terms of regions in Australia.
I'll have to run those numbers.
We should do it.
Certainly growing as a destination, and if we can create a festival that brings all of those northeast Victoria breweries together during winter, which is actually an awesome time of year to come to this area,
especially for us, because it's like it's so different from our home at the moment. We're not like we're so far away, but it's pretty fucking cold.
We're right near the snowfield.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's -5 this morning. Yeah. You probably don't get that in Sydney.
Nope.
But the days are still beautiful because the sky was blue, the sun was shining.
The sun was out. It wasn't cold during the day. It was really nice.
Look, I reckon like if I was skiing in Australia, like it takes, you know, just a couple of hours extra or one or 2 hours extra to get here.
Yeah.
Than the New South Wales ski fields.
Pretty much.
And you can stay in Bright and drink some awesome beers and then go to the ski fields the next day.
That's the idea.
I would have done it
after,
the same day.
Yeah, after your day of skiing, you can come afterwards. Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, I never really thought about that. I didn't think it was that close to get here.
I think another good sign of an awesome festival is the fact that I think we all have different drinks in front of us, not even beers, drinks.
Yeah, so
do you want to go around and talk about what they've got?
So
Being the odd one out, do you want to start, Adrian?
In front of me is a wine. It's the Feathertop Shiraz from 2013. I love me a cool climate Shiraz because, you know, the big kind of Barossa Valley Shiraz is kind of just overpowering
They're
me.
Really, yeah.
And I like the medium-bodied Shirazes that are more complex and, you know, have more nuance to it.
So Feathertop are great friends to Boynton's Feathertop Winery, 6 km down the road from here.
I think we pass it on the way.
Yeah, you would pass them on the way. Great winery to check out. We actually collaborate with them. We have a house wine. We've got a label called Bright Wines, and we make it at Feathertop Winery.
Awesome. Cool.
And they're good friends with us, so it's great to have them here as the sole winery here today because we thought, you know, we like to encompass everyone. Yeah. We didn't want to be just a dark beer festival. It helped, and this is a great wine region as well. So we did want to have a wine region, a winery come along.
Suppose if you got activities for the kids, you need activities or something to do for the non-beer drinker as well, right?
That's it. But it's really been heartwarming to see many of the non-beer drinkers I know actually getting into
having a crack. Yeah. And that's a sign of a good festival when you feel comfortable that you want to try something. Yeah.
That's it.
But yeah. That's awesome.
I've just polished off the Blizzard Brewing Amber, which is quite nice. And I also tried the Conical X, which was the, what is it, the
10% maple stout?
Maple barley wine. Whiskey and raisins.
Okay, it's aged on something.
I went up and I noticed they didn't have the sign out. And I was like, oh, don't tell me I missed it. Because I only had a 10-litre keg here. And the guy's like, look, the keg's run out, but I reckon there's a couple of drops left in it. And I'm like, well, I mean, he's like, I can get them out. I can try and get them out for you. I'm like, oh, you know, it's too much trouble. Don't worry. He's like, no, I'll give it a go. So the girl behind the counter held the hose up on top of my, like above my beer glass.
The tap.
The tap. Gun. Yeah. The, from the, and it was a little 10-litre cleaning keg, basically. And I can't remember his name, but he just stood there shaking it in this like sleeping bag onesie, just shaking this keg for 5 minutes, and just like drip after drip would come out. And I got half a glass, and it was great.
Nice.
And it was really tasty. Yeah.
God damn it, I missed that.
Yeah. I literally got the last of it. Absolutely, I think.
Yeah, you're pretty chuffed telling everyone about it too.
Maybe the third time I've told the story. I don't know. It was really tasty. So,
what do you got in front of you, Liam?
I've got the Thirsty Crow Road to Ruin, as one must do, right?
Yeah. I think we've all had that tonight. Yeah.
I haven't yet. That's what I'm going to get next.
Well, actually,
I haven't, so tell me about it.
It's awesome. It's exactly the type of beer you want to drink during this time of year, I think, in this weather. I kind of walked past, and I just expected it to be gone, and I was like, do you still have Road to Ruin? He's like, just started pouring. He didn't even ask questions, just started pouring it. So, yeah. But it's beautiful. Yeah, really nice. It's not too hot. It's still got a lot of that.
You know what? Like, Thirsty Crow, their dark beers are just amazing. Like, they know how to do dark beers. I don't think they've brewed this beer for, what, like 3 years? 2 years? It's been a while. It's been a while since I've had it, and it's still tasting pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And if you know your local breweries, you'll realise that Thirsty Crow is the odd one out, because they're not from northeast Victoria. They're from New South Wales.
But distance-wise, it's still...
Yeah, they're pretty close, still very close, 2.5 hours. Yeah. But look, they are great guys, and I invited them specifically because I think they do make one of Australia's best dark beers, which is Vanilla Milk Stout.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was probably my favourite dark beer in Australia.
Yeah. And yeah, we owed them one because they're great guys, they're great friends. We go up there every year to do their Gears and Beers Festival in October, which is a great festival. Check out. It's a cycling and craft beer festival that happens on the first weekend of October. And, yeah, we thought we'd reciprocate by inviting them down to Darker Days, and I'm so glad I got them down because they are a great brewery.
Yeah, it's awesome. A good win. It's one of those things like, well, you know, I'm going to go anyway, but when you see things like there's going to be Road to Ruin, it's like, tick. And like, Bill and Mixed Out, tick. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And what about yourself?
Well, look, I had to pour myself a beer before we started this podcast, so I went and got one of my own beers because I could pour it for free.
always good.
So we have barrel-aged our Staircase Porter in a red wine barrel. In that red wine barrel for far too long, probably about 18 months.
Whoa.
And it has come up beautifully. Look, it's sour as fuck, but it's cherry ripe sour.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely beautiful. You probably couldn't tell that the base beer is a straight robust porter, but I'm really enjoying it. It's really clean. It's probably just sitting around the 6% mark at the moment. Tastes like red wine beer, basically.
Awesome.
So if you haven't had it, get some
at our bar tonight.
He won't talk about it, but our producer Lee is also an odd man out. He's drinking the coffee gin from Remedy.
How good
is it?
Black
Remedy.
Who's had it so far?
We've all had it,
So you guys mentioned Remedy gin in the last episode.
We did.
Yeah, because we're drinking the Mayday Hills
Thursday.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it. So across the road from us, we used to have two Chef Hatter restaurants here in Bright. They're both gone now, which is a travesty.
Yeah.
But what happened, there was Simone's restaurant, which is basically the owners simply retired. Their day was done, so that's gone. But also across the road, we had Tiny Eat Drink, which is what was owned and operated by Hamish and Rachel Reed, two fantastic restaurateurs who are really under their chef's hat. They created some great Asian fusion food.
Awesome.
Absolutely brilliant. But they've decided to go into gin distilling.
Why not?
Sorry, can I say it again? Gin
distilling
rather than distillering.
That's what you do when you've had too much gin.
Yeah.
While distilling, you're distillering. Yeah.
It's part of the alcoholisation process, right?
And we're not going to complain about that because we all love gin.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. They're
directly across the road from us, and they've closed down the restaurant, open up a gin distillery, and they're called Remedy Gin. And they're here today pouring this gin. And yes, so their spent botanicals have been used in the Bridge Road Mayday Hill beers
yep.
In their foda. But they're here today making a coffee gin cocktail of some
and
description.
And the coffee gin he was saying he made last night.
That's it,
And I think he said it's his own coffee, so he's roasting...
No. It was batch brew coffee. Sharing with the coffee roaster that's here.
They're opening up a new little venue around the corner, which is shared with the local coffee roaster, Sixpence Coffee.
Yeah.
So they're going to have a... distillery door and coffee roasting door. It's going to be a pretty amazing little venue.
Yeah. How
be
expensive are houses in Bright?
Way cheaper than New South Wales.
It's like a later, but way cheaper than Sydney.
It's like a legal version of a speedball, right? You got your gin and you got your caffeine.
We are really lucky in Bright. We have our own coffee roaster. We've got our own brewery. We've got our own artisan chocolate maker. We've got our own gin distillery. It's not what you normally find in a small country town. So we are very lucky. So if you do want to move to Bright, move to Bright.
So let's relocate the podcast to Bright. Oh, no, wait.
Is there enough space in Bright for two podcasts?
You have a podcast, don't you?
I'm about to talk about that? I'm about to kill that podcast.
No.
So we can come. That's all good.
Absolutely.
But there's a podcast-shaped hole now.
Yes. If you've ever stumbled across Not Too Bright, I'm sorry. Not Too Bright was something that was born of a relationship of two guys who just like to talk shit and drink beer. Unfortunately, one of those guys moved away, and we've since discovered that it just doesn't work when we're in different locations.
So it's no longer Not Too Bright because there's not two of you.
It's not too bright in a new definition. So, that will die a slow death very soon.
That's unfortunate.
We have recorded our second last episode, which I will release probably in 12 years when I get around to editing it.
And the last episode is going to be a two-hour special on Netflix, right?
The last episode is the first episode we ever recorded.
Oh, no.
So we've never released the pilot episode we released. So we're going to release that as the last episode. So you heard it here first. This is a sessionable exclusive.
That's kind of a sad exclusive.
Not Too Bright is dead. What we need to do now... is we need to take a break because we need to go eat some food.
We do.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And reconvene later. So I don't know if you have something to lead into a break, but...
I'll do like a...
Sessionable?
If you want to, pretty much just quick summary of Bright Brewery, what you guys do, et cetera, et cetera, because we haven't really talked about you guys too much.
Oh, look, Bright Brewery... We've been a brew pub brewery in beautiful Bright. It's all about visiting the destination of Bright, living the outdoors lifestyle that we have here. We are in the valleys of the mountains, which means we have awesome skiing, mountain biking, paragliding, hiking, family-friendly. Look, it's all about getting out and enjoying the life and then coming to Bright Brewery and having great beer. That's what we've been about for the genesis of the brewery and the last 12 years.
But that's sort of changing a little bit.
Now we're changing. We're focusing on being out there in the wider wholesale market. And we're still about Bright. We're still about wanting to put our beers out there and attract people to visit Bright. Because Scott, our owner, he is the heart and soul of our brand. And his brand is that he loves Bright. And he wants people to come to Bright and experience this great outdoor lifestyle that we've had here. You guys have seen a tiny, tiny bit of it today. And, you know...
Which has been fantastic.
It's been awesome.
Hopefully it has been really fantastic. But, you know, if you had another day or two to spend, I'd say, you know, go up to the top of Mount Buffalo and experience the awesome views you have out there. And in the end, what we are about is the beers that you have that complement that experience of living the outdoor lifestyle. So it's not necessarily about being in the moment with the beer. And, you know, sometimes we get too beer geeky and go, this beer is all about this and this and this. Our beers are more about, I've had a great day today and I need this kind of beer.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've climbed a mountain and right now I need a Belgian double to complement the fact that I've just climbed a mountain.
That big kind task, of big thing. Beer. Yeah.
So that's what we are at Bright Brewery. We're a family business. We are a small... I couldn't have asked for a better job in the world to come and work in the craft beer industry than working for a small family business that really cares about what it does.
Yeah.
And I think that's Bright Brewery. So I hopefully you guys have got a bit of a touch of that.
Oh,
tonight.
Yeah, and I think it's really evident. Yeah. Like, just spending today here and just seeing, you know, the families here and how what you're doing to engage the families and just people just having
and talking
awesome
to people
time
around and, yeah. and talking to the staff and all that. Everyone just seems super into it and
everyone just seems really nice and bright. I don't know if it's because I've had like
to pull back the curtain a bit. There's been a bit of a gap between when we took a break and now. We've had a few beers in between and there's been a lot of talk about how much do houses cost in Bright. And
there's a lot of people way too cheap.
I will tell you that everyone's been really nice to you because you're wearing like VIP lanyards.
I'm not.
No, it's because we're wearing a Canucks jersey. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
They're nice Canadians.
So just touching back on the festival, we're talking about the awesome crowd that's been here. Is it like what's the mix? Are these Bright locals? Is it people from out of town? Or
as best as I can gather, and it's really quite hard to gather because I've been running around like a chook with its head cut off.
Yeah.
It's been about 30% local, 70% visitor, which is awesome. Fantastic.
Wow, that's
absolutely
really
fantastic.
Cool.
And spot on for what we wanted. So.
Great.
I've been really pleased by the amount of people that I've heard who have come to Bright specifically for this event from near and far. And, that's fantastic. And that's more than we could ask for. So, cheers to everyone who came along.
And just congratulations on
absolutely.
A great festival.
A smashing success.
Yeah.
Now, the final part of the podcast is recommendations. Hopefully, you've had a bit of time to think about it. Liam, I've been asking for the last, 2 hours. It's like, do you have something? He's like, nah.
So, how we're going to do today is we're going to do some dark beer recommendations.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a good idea.
To keep with the theme, and some non-beer, as usual.
Sweet.
You want to start, James? No?
No, come back to me.
That's all right. You can go last.
Because I need to get the beer that reminds me of what my recommendation is.
I am going
to
start with non-beer.
Yep.
And I've been listening to this album pretty much endlessly since it came out a couple of weeks ago. And it is Lord's new album called Melodrama. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah?
It's one of those albums, like, I started listening to it because I literally couldn't sleep one day and it just came out. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll start listening to it and do some, some kind of admin for the podcast. And next minute, I had listened to the whole album, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I planned to listen to one song, and it just kept going, and it was fucking amazing.
Awesome.
So, Lord, Melodrama, check it out.
Awesome.
I thought we weren't allowed to recommend a Lord album.
No, you guys weren't.
Okay.
I was, because that was mine.
Yeah, Adrian told us all that he had dibsed it and we couldn't recommend it, which is fine because that's not what
good because I would never recommend a Lord album.
I like Lord.
No, she's good.
Did you see that she and Seal are in a bit of a feud at the moment?
Seal
dissed Lord on The Voice.
Oh, what?
Big news.
Oh, great. Yeah.
You can cut that out.
How do you even know that? Yeah,
because it's Tom.
Yeah. All right. Go on. What's your non-beer recommendation, Tom?
So on the way down to Bright, we had Liam hosted a quiz, and as part of that quiz, I won a prize.
Yeah, contentiously, but yeah, we'll go. Yeah, yeah.
One of the answers was wrong.
And I also didn't get a point for an answer that I put correctly. So,
let's
not get into it. But one of the things I won is the Hermetus, which is this really fucking cool bottle opener. We'll put a link in the show notes, which is a bottle opener. And then it's also, you can use it to reseal the bottle.
What?
It's really cool. Yeah. I'll show you in a sec.
Oh,
yeah. It's awesome. I
just a bit of a shameless plug, but the only place you can get them in Australia is from Dave's.
Honestly, that was not the purpose of the recommendation. I don't mind that synergy.
We imported them in from
Dave's. Nice. Yeah, it's really cool. I'm definitely going to use this a lot.
My non-beer recommendation is I was cleaning out my kitchen pantry the other day, and I found it. I forgot that I'd been given, but a good friend of the show, Julia, gave me a tin of Old Spice. Not Old Spice. Sorry, Old Bay.
Old Bay.
Old Bay Spice, not Old Spice.
Okay, I was like,
the old Bay Spice.
Yeah.
So the other day I went to the fish markets.
Is that the Instagram version of Old Spice?
So the other day I went to the fish markets and got some prawns and did Old Bay Spice prawns.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So you can't get Old Bay in Australia because there's certain ingredients which are illegal to import into Australia. So you've
got to
get a friend to bring you some over from the States. But yeah,
I'm going to the States soon.
Yeah, give me some Old Bay.
Old Bay sprays. Yeah.
They have like a almost like a 3 liter jug one.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to have room for that one. Yeah. But yeah,
you're right.
Can you bring me back some Treehouse? That'd be awesome. Anyway. James, what...
Hi, my name is James.
Non-beer.
So this is the non-beer recommendation round.
Yeah, look, I'm a music guy, so I'm going to recommend music as well. There's a Melbourne band called La Bastard. Fantastic. look, I don't know how to describe them. They're rock, punk, funk, soul. They're just so many genres fused into one. But they're a great local indie pub rock band called La Bastard. They've got a new album coming out at the moment called Trouble. I'm a vinyl guy. It's available on vinyl, so get it on vinyl. It's coming out through a record label called Cobra Snake Necktie. CSNT. Yeah, CSNT. Which
close. Yeah.
Has a great brewery connection because the manager of that label works at Bad Shepherd Brewery in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of synergy there with the craft beer world. So check out La Bastard Trouble. I have a preview copy of the album and it is absolutely fantastic if you like your pub rock music with a bit of funk soul kicked into it.
Yeah. Did Dan give you the copy or?
No, it was Mick from Bad Shepherd. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool. All
right.
Beer then?
Yeah.
So
before we say beer recommendation, can we just tell everyone what we're drinking at the moment?
Yeah, of course.
Because I see an interesting
again,
array.
It's
and I want to know.
Once again, it's completely
I want to know what we're
different.
Drinking. Yeah.
So Adrian, what are you drinking?
So I just finished the Bright Brewery Black Diamond IBA, which is awesome.
That's and got I'm, some hot yeah. character to it, doesn't it? That's beautiful.
And I'm also drinking the Remedy Gin with tonic and mandarin.
Beautiful.
Which goes really well.
Which goes really well together.
I just finished off the Barrel Age Fainter's Double, which is delicious. I think we spoke about the porter earlier.
Which I had in between break, and that was bloody good as well.
And the double was brilliant.
Yeah,
was
the double's
really,
really
nice.
Almost like a Flanders Red or something.
Well, it's really, really good.
I just visited the winery and had a glass of Petit Verdot, which was the other red that they had. It was very, very good.
Yeah, excellent.
And I am also drinking our Black Diamond India Black Ale, which, look, what is a black IPA? Because this
Cascadian Dark Ale? Or,
well, yeah, this is 5.7%, so it's actually too light to be
a black pale ale.
IPA.
Yeah, it's a black XPA.
Black pale ale. Let's call it a hoppy black beer.
Yeah.
Extra black ale?
Yeah.
It's a black
It's a dark beer. It's full of Simcoe, Hercules, Citra. Some good hops in there, and it's only 5.7%. It's really sessionable. I'm smashing through it. It's in
sorry.
Ding.
Ding.
How fresh is that? Because it tastes really green.
Like, yeah, really fresh. 2 or 3 weeks old. It's,
wow.
Yeah. Within the last month that we've
Cool.
Yeah, it's a great beer.
Oh, sorry. Just got a message from our producer about what he's drinking.
Because everyone was dying to know. Go on.
He's drinking the Stubborn Russian. Yeah.
2017 Stubborn Russian made with bright chocolate.
Do you like it, Len?
Has anyone had it today? And what
no,
do think
that's going to be my next beer.
Yeah, I think it's going to be my nightcap, and then I'm going to just pass out at home.
let's just say
I had
it's
a sip,
beer.
But yeah, it's, yeah.
What do you reckon, Lee?
Can we get a nod from Lee? Can we get...
Oh,
he was a bit in the middle.
All right, so Lee doesn't like sweet stuff too much, so maybe it's a bit too sweet.
Look, we did chuck a bit of vanilla bean in there to sweeten it out because it's Imperial Stouts are hard. Anyway. Yeah.
So anyway,
beer
recommendations. On to beer recommendations.
Can you cut that out? Because I don't want Stubborn Russian to ever have a bad word. Anyway, so Lee, what did you think about it?
Thumbs up!
That's awesome! Fantastic!
Three
he just
sculled
the whole glass. Look at him, animal.
And he's now fallen over.
And that's what you put at the start.
All right, Adrian, what's your beer recommendation?
Yeah, so I figured we'd stick to dark beers for recommendations, and I'm going to recommend the Thirsty Crow Road to Ruin, which is back for the first time in a couple of years, and I'm so fucking happy.
It's tasting so good.
It's tasting so good. And we're hopefully going to see some kegs in Sydney and probably Melbourne, I guess, for our Melbourne listeners.
Where might we find them in Sydney?
The Royal Albert Hotel, I believe, is getting one, you know.
Because that's the important part.
Yeah. But probably, Mick's talked a big game about getting
possibly other places. So,
We'll find out. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
What about you, Tom?
All right, that's what I was going to recommend. But instead, I'll recommend the other delicious Thirsty Crow Stout that's on tap here at Darker Days. And it's also been on tap a bit around the traps in Sydney recently.
Yeah,
Bit of Few had it on recently, and it's on Hand Pump at the Royal Albert.
No, it would run out.
Pardon?
We've run out.
Oh, okay. It was.
It was on Hand Pump.
The famous vanilla milk stout, which, to my money, is one of the best dark beers in Australia.
I mean, honestly, I probably like that better than the Road to Ruin, but because Road to Ruin's rarer.
Yeah.
That is why Thirsty Crow are here today at Darker Days.
VMS.
I'm fairly sure that is one of Australia's greatest dark beers of all time.
I 100% agree. Yep.
Yeah.
So we couldn't have a Darker Days dark beer festival. Yeah. They're only 2 hours
away.
Exactly.
They're close enough.
Really, own,
close enough. And
like honorary high country Victorians.
Honorary high country. Yeah. When you've got a beer of that caliber, they need to be here.
Yeah, agreed.
Awesome. I'm going to recommend the Dark Harvest by Bridgerow.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is a fucking good beer.
Yeah. We stopped for a cheeky beer at Bridge Road on the way to Bright, and I had to get myself a pint because that's what you do.
Yeah, of course.
And I had a pint of that, and it was bloody awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
And I think that's the base beer for the Thursday as well, which is a cracker beer.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have recommended that, but we had that.
We had that. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
And I'm going to recommend the Black Dog Brewery 2015. Let Sleeping Dogs Lie Russian Imperial Stout. The reason why I'm recommending this is because I had it last night, because last night it was my birthday.
Hey, happy birthday.
And James Booth came down to Bright to set up his store yesterday, and he gifted me a couple bottles of this Let Sleeping Dogs Lie RIS. And I cracked a bottle last night. It was my one indulgence on my birthday because I had a festival to run today, so I didn't want to go too hard. And it was gorgeous. So it's a 2015 collaboration beers with Four Rascals coffee roasters. So it's a coffee Russian Imperial Stout. 11% alcohol. It's everything you want from a RAS with coffee. It's wax sealed. So, yes.
That's how you know it's good.
Everyone hates wax sealed, but
I hate it so much.
But
it does look cool, though.
It's worth the effort when it comes out. So, I feel like it's probably not a beer that you're going to be able to get anymore. But look, if you find...
That hasn't stopped us before. So.
If you find any Black Dog breweries at all, James Booth, great guy, knows what he's doing when he's making beers. So, check out Black Dog Beers.
Awesome.
I think that pretty much wraps it up.
Yeah.
So I got to say a big thank you, James, for letting us come.
Like, letting us know about it in the first
letting
place.
Letting us know about
and
it.
And then inviting us come over. Down,
looking after us.
Yeah.
Spending a good amount of time sitting here talking to us when you should be out actually probably doing some work.
Yeah. And taking us through the brewery earlier as well. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. And
just being a Dead Set legend. Thank you very much.
Thanks to you guys coming down to Bright for Darker Days. And hopefully everyone from now on will come down to Bright for Darker Days.
We'll be here next year. So.
Annual pilgrimage.
Absolutely.
Annual
bigger bus
annual,
next year.
Annual Dave's trip.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Absolutely. Lock it in.
Cheers, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
Cheers.
Sessionable.
Thanks for listening to today's episode, which has been brought to you by Dave's Travel and Events Group. If you're strapped for time because you've been listening to this podcast for too long, they've got a great new thing they're calling the 2x2 Evening Tour. Two of Sydney's best breweries in 2 hours with loads of beer included and a pub meal at the end just to seal the deal. It's excellent value and doesn't take up a lot of your time, so get amongst it. Hit up daves.com.au. See you later.